Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Jason and John right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We are about an hour out, ladies and gentlemen, yep, of the kickoff for the University of Memphis at FedEx Forum. The AAC tournament is here in Memphis. Tigers are in action at 2 o'clock here in Memphis, taking on Tulane. They are a 16.5-point favorite, Jason, are the Memphis Tigers over Tulane. This is one of those games where, as we've talked about today, no drama. You don't want any drama in this game. Ideally, you would like Jeremiah to get his 18 to get into the top 10. I think it's 18 to pass Chris Douglas Roberts and get into the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like him to get that in the first half and not have to play in the second.
That'd be nice. But I think even more important than Jeremiah, and yeah, you're trying to save his legs, is getting, like we've talked about, getting other guys going, getting guys that have been struggling, like Kevin Davenport, like, you know, Alex Lomax, who can change a game defensively. Antoine Jones, you want to keep him going. You've seen sort of what we've seen glimpses of what he's capable of contributing here over the last week or two. And I think that if you're obviously, I mean, you have to win the game. That's most important. You want to make sure that's it. After that, though, and against a four-win team like Tulane, I think you can get some things accomplished. Getting those guys going would be among those things.
Yeah. Jeremiah can pass Chris Douglas Roberts if he has 18 a day. So that would truly be remarkable. We've obviously discussed Jeremiah's run and how unlikely and how spectacular it is. But yeah, I mean, this is just one that you want to take care of and get guys going, you know, like you mentioned, because you're going to need performances, big-time performances from Tyler Harris. You're going to need big-time performances from Antoine Jones, Kevin Davenport. I mean, listen, maybe not Friday, right? Maybe not Friday you won't necessarily need all those guys. But if you're really talking about making a run and getting a tournament berth, the only way you're beating Houston is if everybody is engaged and everybody's, you know, locked in.
I mean,
and everybody's playing well.
I think for the most part that it counts the same against UCF with the way they're playing, with the way they've wrapped up the season. I've made it clear. I think they're a better matchup for you than UCF. I mean, excuse me, than Temple, which has got more experienced guards that are, you know, more capable of taking over. For the most part, UCF's got two, and only one of them has been effective against Memphis, and that would be B.J. Taylor. To this point, Dawkins hadn't done much. But that said, with the way they played here down the stretch,
it
can't just be Jeremiah. It can't just be Tyler. It feels like it's going to take, much like it will against Houston, as you point out, it's going to take most of your guys against UCF, particularly with the way, like, UCF is in. You know what I'm saying? They're in.
Right.
They're playing free at this point, I would think. Of course, they don't want to lose to Memphis their opening game, but they're in. They're playing free. You're going to make sure you're going to have to need, you know, plenty of guys going. Well,
yeah, there is no question about that. Now, earlier today, there was some news from the Commercial Appeal and Drew Hill and Mark Giannotto about turnstile counts. Now, this is something that we've obviously paid very close attention to the last, 3 to 4 years because of the Grizzlies payout. When did you start as the beat writer caring about turnstile numbers? What year was that?
Last year, Josh.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, that's when I mean, things really started to swoon. That's when you started pulling numbers, and it became clear that Memphis was in financial trouble because of its attendance dropping the way it had, and because of its deal with the Grizzlies. And so I think it was around that time that we started pulling those numbers. Things had already started falling off. You could tell visibly,
right,
in the crowd. But once you saw a half-empty building,
right?
You know, that's when you know financially it wasn't helping. And that's when we started pulling the numbers.
Yeah. So today the news is, and even if you think back to they missed the entire payout from the Grizzlies last year,
mm-hmm.
Tubby Smith's last year at the University of Memphis. And obviously you had to think that was a huge reason, or at least part of the reason why Memphis made the decision to move on from him, just because of the apathy that had set in. I mean, you and I have been one of us or both of us has been at every single home game this year. And the building looks packed. It looks full. For most games, I would say it looks very healthily packed. But the commercial appeal story today reports that they are not going to get the full payment, is Memphis, from the Grizzlies, because though they did double the turnstile count, that's it. They just doubled. So they went from about 4,400 to 8,800 on average per game. And that number was a little surprising. I don't know what we expected, right? I don't think we had a number in mind for a turnstile count, but I mean, they're announcing 15,000, 16,000, 17,000, and to see it's only 8,000 and change per game, that's kind of staggering.
Yeah, and I'm a little shocked by the number, because if I'm not mistaken, they've announced average attendance been around 15,500 all year long, and so you're talking a little bit less than half of that, in terms of what you're saying is actual butts and seats. So it feels like I'm not going to tell you there's been 15,000 in there every game, but it's certainly felt closer to that than it has to 8,000. So the number is a little eyebrow raising. I'm still a little bit shocked by it.
What do you think that says? Do you think it says that even though they hired such a jolt in Penny Hardaway, and he's done a fairly good job in his first year here, and he's got such a tremendous class coming in? Do you think it says that apathy takes time to reverse?
Yeah, I think after having Rudd on, who tells you, you know, they're in such by a couple of million, you know, better position than they were this time last year, I think is pretty
right.
much the way he put it. You still felt like you were closer to what you're announcing than you were to this. Now, yeah, I mean, I think it says a lot about, you know, how far down things had gotten with Josh and with Tubby Smith, and how far things had fallen, and how far you had to come back.
No doubt.
That said, you know, had some late games this season. You had early and late games this season.
6 and like 8:30.
Yeah, no question about that. And I guess for some of those, you know, you had even lower than 8,000. Doesn't seem like you could have had a lower than 8,000, but I guess in some you did.
Yeah, I don't know what
this
game
is the average.
I mean, because you know, like I said, you look up and it's, you know, the lower bowl is pretty much packed. And you can't count everybody in the terrace level, and I guess maybe that's where the drop off is. You know, it's hard to get people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, let's also be honest. They play Tennessee at home, you know, but that's about it.
The home schedule.
In terms of, you know, and they're working on improving that, obviously. They're in talks with Georgetown for a home and home series, which, you know, there's still some weight there with that name, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Penny is very optimistic. You know, Ole Miss is on the schedule. They play in FedEx Forum next season. So they're trying to ramp it up. I guess maybe that's the other part of this, too, is, maybe gone are the days where you get a full building for Tulane. You know, I mean, maybe you have to have that marquee home schedule to average, you know, 12,000, 13,000 for the season.
I don't think so. I think it will gradually ratchet up. I think the thing that helps you is that the AAC is better. Yes, Tulane and East Carolina are teams that you don't want to see, but for the most part, like we've talked about all year long, from top to bottom, AAC better than it usually is. You've got a Wichita State now that comes in here all of a sudden. That's a game people want to go to. That helps you in your league. I think because we know Penny wants to schedule tough. He's going to do it until he's proven otherwise that that's not what he should do. But I think now, unlike when you were in Conference USA, you've got enough opportunities in conference, not just number one for big wins, but to have good marquee games, right? For Cincinnati coming in, whether it's hopefully Houston with a Kelvin Sampson and being nationally relevant coming in, enough games to draw on those. Still need your big non-conference.
You do.
We know that.
Yep.
We know that here. They don't want a schedule like they saw under Tubby Smith. They don't want a home schedule like that. That said, though, you can't swing too hard again because you miss on all those opportunities. What does it get you?
Yeah, and let's also be honest. Like you said, they're bringing in the number six recruiting class, and by the time it's all said and done, it will be even higher than the number six recruiting class. It will be a top three, top four class, if not better. And so that's another.
I'd be shocked if it's not over 10 next year. I think we all thought it would be this year, but I'd be shocked if it doesn't go up.
Because they're going to be picked to, you know, first, second, or third in the American. You know, they're just going to come in with much more hype. Like, don't you think in terms of, like, if we sat down and we plotted next year in Memphis sports, right? If we sat down and we said, okay, we got the Tigers, we got the Grizzlies, we got the Hustle, we got the Memphis Express. If the league survives after this year, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. And Memphis 901 FC. I mean, don't you think by a wide margin, Tiger basketball is going to be the thing?
Yes. Yes, and I think it's what the University of Memphis has expected. It's what it hoped for when it hired Penny Hardaway. Look, that class that we expect to be added to is going to be top five in the country, most likely, maybe even number one, depending upon what combination these two or these three they get.
Yep.
People want to see that. And, look, I think this season, no disrespect to Tubby and no disrespect to the players that were on Tubby's teams, but, again, a lot of that is still Tubby here. And some Memphians may have, hey, let me hold on until it's all Penny. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm coming back in, and I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah, I do think it just takes time for people to, because it had stopped being a part of people's routine, right? Like, people just didn't go to Memphis Tiger basketball games anymore, and I do think that does take time to undo, you know. And so I think that's maybe part of why you've seen a little bit of a dip in attendance as far as this week goes. What is the storybook ending? What is the absolute, like, if you wrote it as if it was a fairy tale, how does it end?
I mean, it's very simple. It's Jeremiah Martin winning conference tournament MVP on Sunday with you beating Cincinnati. That's how it ends. And you're headed to the NCAA tournament, giving Jeremiah his first one in four seasons. That would be as storybook as it gets. Now, this is it for the, you know, for a lot of this season, it's been about as storybook as you can for Jeremiah.
It has.
You know what I'm saying? We've never seen a month of February from a Memphis player, an entire month of play like we saw from Jeremiah. And look, they've had opportunities this year to be an at large.
Yep.
There's no question about it. You squandered some opportunity there, but there's still a chance here with that crowd that we expect to be an advantage for them to write that storybook ending. You don't know how many more of these, you know, kinds of chapters Jeremiah Martin's got left in him.
No question.
But I'm certainly not going to doubt him.
Yep.
The key, like we said, to start this segment, though, and I sure hope it happens for him, is getting help. He cannot do it by himself.
Yeah, whether that comes in the form of Rainier, who has kind of stepped up as that second option off and on, Keevan, you know, maybe you can tap into him. This is the perfect time for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he was playing out of his mind to start the year. I mean, I don't know if that's gone forever or what, but if you could just find a way to tap into that and get a little bit of that guy back.
Yeah.
He's just playing so timid. Like, even if you think back to the Temple game where his numbers didn't jump off the page at you, but Penny ran three straight plays for him and he scored on two of those three possessions, and they were big points at that juncture in the game.
Again, a game like Tulane, I think, is one where, because you feel like you're going to have it in hand, Jeremiah Martin doesn't have to have the ball the time. And so that's the thing.
Run through Keevan.
Run some stuff through Keevan. Get him going again. Make him again feel like he's a part of it. Whatever you've got to do at this point, because at this point you've got nothing to lose with him. You may as well try to get him involved because it makes no sense at this point to just cast him off. You know he can help you.
Yeah, because if you're them, right, if you're the Rainier Thorntons, the Keevan Davenports, the Kareem Brutons, right, Mike Parks, you know, this is it, man.
You'd hope there'd be the self-motivation there as seniors, right? But even if there's not, that's on you as well. You want this for Jeremiah just as bad as Jeremiah wants it. So, again, you can only control so much as a coach, but you've got to try to push every button. You have to. You can't just, again, Keevan's valuable. We've seen him be valuable for this team. They need the valuable Keevan this week.
For me, the storybook ending would be Houston gets picked off before Saturday, as does Cincinnati get picked off before Sunday.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Memphis just has to beat, like, I don't know who it would be, like Wichita State or UConn in the championship
game. Pretty slick.
I honestly, like, I found myself dreaming of a Saturday. I'm not even getting so far as a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just find myself dreaming of a Saturday at what would it be at 2 o'clock? Would it be at 2 o'clock on Saturday? It's an afternoon game, I'm pretty sure.
One or two.
I find myself dreaming of a Saturday afternoon inside FedEx Forum where Memphis is playing for a chance to make the conference championship game. Like, you just know.
It's 2 p.m., yeah.
2 p.m., yeah. 2 p.m. Saturday, FedEx Forum. You just know that that building is going to be as crazy and as loud as it has been in I don't even know how long. I mean, you have to really – because they just haven't, you know – I mean, it didn't matter in 2014, right? They didn't even make it out of the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to UConn. They got destroyed by UConn. So there was no March moment there. I mean, you got to go back to the year of Darius Washington, you know, at the free throw line for energy like that, I think, in terms of what's on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, Penny Hardaway making the tournament in his first year, Jeremiah Martin making the tournament for the first time in his last year, you know, a chance to do that, right? To get to Sunday. I find myself dreaming of that, and that's my hope for them, is that, you know, to sit here and say, Oh, they got to win the tournament. They got to win 4-4. I think that's a little much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want them to get to Saturday and just have a chance to play for that, a chance to get to Sunday and to feel that energy, because I think they got a chance to do that for sure. I can easily talk myself into that. It's just can they beat Houston? That team is really, really good. But on Saturday, I mean, it's here in Memphis. It's a one game elimination. Anything can happen. I just hope they get to that point. I hope they get past UCF.
I would tell you, and I would tell Tigers fans, hoping that you do get to Saturday. And I'm with you. I'd sure like to see that day at least. Enjoy it, because you don't know when or if it's coming back to Memphis in terms of the conference tournament. You know, obviously you've got the next 3 years at Dickey's Arena. Down in, yep, Fort Worth, Texas.
That's a good point. This is it for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. When we talked to Mike Goresko, the commissioner, back in February, I think it was late February, and he told us then, had asked him, hey, working on plans for after 2022. At that point, no. So we don't know when this, exactly, is coming back. So yeah. To that point, John, enjoy having this advantage in this conference tournament in Memphis, because, again, we don't know if or when it'll be back.
Yeah, now we do get the NCAA tournament, I think, in a couple years. That rotation comes back to the FedEx Forum, and, you know, I think a 4 year or so rotation. So we will get the NCAA tournament back at some point here in Memphis, which I enjoyed. I really do enjoy. I mean, that, you think back to that regional, dude, in 2017, you had Cal, you had Lonzo here,
mm-hmm,
you had Carolina. I mean, that regional was absolutely stacked. But yes, I mean, this is going to be the last time for a long time, at least 3 to 4 years, that you're going to be able to have this conference tournament in Memphis. And I guess I would say I'm a little surprised. When Memphis made the move to the American, I feel like there was an assumption that they would just always have the tournament in Memphis, you know, because it was centrally located. It was one of the better basketball programs in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they almost went out of their way to not have it in Memphis for the majority of the time.
Yeah. Had it down in Orlando for several
years. Didn't they
have
it at UConn?
UConn as well. See, that's the difference. And I don't know if people even realize it now, the people that, you know, want to flip Memphis and have them in the 7 o'clock game because Memphis is the home team, and, oh, that means you're going to draw. This ain't CUSA.
Yeah.
Which just bowed down to the best team.
Good point.
In the conference for years, right? Everything, because you would have nothing. You would have no one come to the games if you didn't move it. This, they consider themselves
I hate even using the phrase, but it is.
They consider themselves a power six, and who had to, yes, make UConn happy and take it up there, who had to, in the case of Orlando, now they, AAC wanted it down there. They preferred the destination, but had to appease a UCF, for a couple of years there. It's not the same. You're in a better league now where you are just one of the players. Remember, you haven't even won this league since you've been in it.
I mean, when you said yesterday that their best record in the league was 12-6.
Josh's first year.
That is
13-14, first year of the AAC.
That is hard to believe.
And that was with Louisville, in it.
Yes.
Was the year that Josh.
It required a sweep of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
They had to sweep Louisville, who went on to win the national championship that year.
You don't own the conference anymore. And that's the difference, is they're not, you know, they don't have to appease you anymore.
Right, which I guess is better for the program in the long run because, you know, I guess there is a little bit more room for error, you know, because you do have other programs in the conference like UCF and Temple and Cincinnati and Houston. But, yes, that has certainly been a part of the move for sure. At any rate, we are about, you know, 40 minutes away from tip-off down at FedEx Forum. Should be a fun weekend. And like we said, you just hope you can get to Saturday and with a chance to play for Sunday. And if that happens, you get to Sunday, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. If they get to Sunday, they're winning the thing. That's where I'm at with it. I think they win if they get to the championship game. I don't see them losing in the title game.
Yeah, I mean, since he hadn't played well here down the stretch, Temple's got to get through. Yeah. Temple doesn't scare you.
And Cincinnati doesn't either because you feel like you had a chance to beat them twice this year. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. even in their place, you gave it away here in Memphis.
I'd be curious to see what kind of legs they got second half of that game after 3 and 3 days before it.
Right. You mean Memphis?
Yeah. Yes.
That's definitely a part of it. That's why you hope that today can be no drama, in and out, baby, back to business.
Everybody eat.
Yeah, everybody eat. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us. Jeff Calkins, of course, is the sports columnist with the Daily Memphian. Do you have a picture with Penny, Jason? Have you ever taken one?
No, but my stepson has.
Really?
I've taken one of him with my stepson.
Okay, so did you submit it to the Daily Memphian?
Not.
Okay, well, he needed it. He needed your picture.
Sorry.
You can still email it. I think he can keep it for his records. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Calkins in the studio. Jason and John, 93.9 FM.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We're just about a short 30 minutes away or so from the University of Memphis starting their conference tournament run against Tulane down at FedEx Forum. Jeff Calkins is going to be there all weekend long. We'll see him around the forum. He's here with us now. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Oh, it's so good to be on the show here now that tournament has commenced. Can they punch their ticket? I like the idea. I've always loved the punching tickets. So it's a very exciting day.
Do you expect that ticket to get punched?
No. No, no.
Yes, let's start it off right.
No.
Let's keep it realistic. Right?
Yeah, let's keep it realistic.
Let's just end the show now. That's it.
And
we're gone.
It's been really good talking to you. There are various people who expect the good things to happen to them in life.
Yeah.
And particularly in sports. And then there are other people who just don't want the bad thing to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want the bad thing to happen. Well, obviously the horrible thing to happen would be they lose today, which would be hard to imagine. But honestly, like Temple played, I mean, they played Temple close recently to Lane. Like, it's a basketball game. But the bad thing would be losing to UCF tomorrow. That's what I don't want to happen. I want them to get to Saturday, and that's my hope. And
yeah.
Then we'll see what happens after that.
I kind of am with you on just making it to Saturday, and just
Saturday,
because I was listening to you. I was listening to you and Gary.
Thanks, I appreciate
yesterday
that.
Coming out of the gym, and I think he's right. You know, the idea that on a Saturday, right, you get past UCF, and on Saturday, you know, all you have to do is get past Houston, and then you're in the conference championship game with an opportunity to go to the end. Like that is a fun thing. That is something that as a program that is. Not quite there yet, but that is something that you want, you know, and I, you know, it's a weekend game. It'd be packed out. That would be awesome.
I think
so that's what
would
you want.
Be, yes. I think today will be a little light, don't you believe, in terms of
relatively, yeah.
Yes. And people you know, take off days.
It's Tulane. I mean, it's like
Tulane
nobody expects
and off days.
Yeah,
right.
This isn't an interesting game.
But Saturday should be jammed, and people are excited about this team. And that would be an occasion. And we've had lots of occasions. If you stop and think about it, from a year ago, right?
Yes.
We had I mean, this was a year ago is when the fun started, and it was so much fun.
You're right.
Like, even watching the final days of Tubby was kind of fun because you knew
he ducked the meeting.
You knew he was going to get whacked, right? Oh yeah, and then he ducked the meeting.
He's on the inner. He's on I-40 on the motorcycle.
But then we had the Penny press conference.
We did.
That was a moment. We had Memphis Madness. That was a moment. We had the first game. That was a moment.
Yeah, you had the commitments before, right? You had Dandridge when he committed.
Tyler. That was a moment.
Yes.
We had certainly Wiseman. That was a moment.
And then, unfortunately, the season has to start.
No, but even then, we've had some moments in the season that were a lot of fun. I think I think every home game has been fun.
It has been. It has been.
And so, in terms of the most rollicking home games, like Yale was crazy.
Oh,
Yale was
fun.
They won that game. That was a fun game. So I think there's been a lot of great moments. Wichita State was a great moment.
Yep.
Beating the hell out of UConn, beating the hell out of UCF. They destroyed some teams at home. It's been a lot of fun. And I think Houston would be another. The Tennessee game was fun, right? And so there's been a lot of great moments, and Saturday would be another one. And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Thing you've been most impressed by about this team this season?
Individually, Jeremiah, right, is the main thing. But the thing that you've been mostly impressed by, to me, is that they've gotten better. Like, there always used to be this myth about Tubby that his teams got better as the season went along, whereas if you look at the record, it was the opposite. And then there's this incredible worry about Penny. Can he coach? Is he going to roll the ball out? AAU coach, high school coach, etc. And the fact that there's really been not a whisper of that, you can quibble with even the last game. I saw people griping that he had the A-Lo Tyler back, backcourt in crunch time. It was A-Lo and Tyler, and has he learned nothing? Like, I saw some of that on Twitter.
Sure.
And but those are the kind of,
that's what we get here, right?
Well, that's anyway, every that's game. What you get.
And any coach,
that any right? coach, yeah. any coach at any program is going to get second guessed over things like that's natural. But has there been a single moment where you thought, "Oh man, he's got a ways to go"?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had one of those moments.
I think you're right. I think that might be it. He's convinced us, right, that he can coach.
Did we
ever have that with Josh in his first year?
Well, there wasn't a worry that Josh couldn't coach. So there wasn't. It turns out there should have been, but we didn't. I don't think that people were like, ooh.
Well, we said you couldn't judge fully till he had his full
true about Penny. I'm not saying that you,
Josh won 24 games his first year.
But to Jeff's point, that question's never come up.
No,
you're talking about a first year college coach.
Never come up.
It's you've never sat there and said,
he's
man,
an
overhead. Yeah.
Well, there are some who said it around his approach to PR. Ooh, Penny has to learn. He can't say those things.
No, I think he's fine.
But I know you think he's fine, and I tend to think he's deliberate. And he's doing it his way, and so I don't. But it's funny. Like even Leonard Draper Senior told me after the Tennessee stuff, ooh, Penny's got to learn. Like he mm-hmm. So there's been some of that. I didn't think that. I think Penny's very deliberate about what he's done with PR. So. I haven't had one of those moments. And so to me, that's what's the striking thing. It's not that there was this one game when he totally, I can imagine, it totally out. But they've also, he's defined what the team is.
Yeah.
Like, in the end, to me, you take this thing of clay and you try to figure out what this ball of clay, and you try to make a team out of it. And that's what's happened. And he has made a team out of it. Now, there's some who have – you can't say that every player got better. You can't say Kevin Davenport got better.
No.
You can't make that – can you?
No,
you can't say that. Kareem Brewton better? He got better during the course of the year. Is he better than last year's Kareem Brewton?
I think he's better than last year's Kareem Brewton.
He's had moments.
Last year. He won games last year. About the same.
Renee Thornton's certainly gotten better.
He got better.
There's no question he's
more
gotten
consistent.
Better. And – I think Tyler got better Mike Parks did not get better. But as a team, they figured out who they were. They developed.
Isaiah Maurice got better.
They developed, and he did get better. They developed an identity. And I think that's also part of the mark of a good coach is
what are you?
Do you know what you are?
Yep.
And does everyone on the team on board with what you are? And that's the other thing. The fact that he's been managed to the egos, the fact that Tyler and Alo both are happy or not miserable with their dramatically reduced roles off of A, where it started, and B, maybe their own personal expectations, I think that shows something about
Benny. It's what you are. Now, that was a question we asked about Josh. And you remember you would ask Josh, what kind of team are you? You know, do you hang your hat on the defensive end like Cincinnati does? Right. And Josh would tell you that the open man's the go-to man, that we're a team that finds the open man, you know what I mean? That was his answer to the kind. With Penny, we see it. He wants to run you out of the gym, and he wants to, you know, when they're at their best, they're pressing you, and they're turning you over, much like those old Arkansas teams, his teams played back in the day. And so we've already kind of seen,
he announced the identity in advance, then he achieved it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a vision. I've always said, like, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, a good coach, beyond the recruiting part and the PR part and whatever, is someone who can see what they want the team to look like.
Yeah.
Also know the way to get there. Mm-hmm. I think Josh knew what he wanted the team to look like. He just didn't know how to get there. Justin Fuente is a guy who knew exactly what he wanted a football team to look like and knew how to.
Yeah.
He was unrelenting and rigid and
stayed with it while everyone else said, what do you do?
He knew how to get the team there. And I think Penny has shown that he knows what the team should look like, and he's figured out how to get it there. I've fundamentally been impressed. Yep. But now it'll be a downer if they lose to UCF. There's no question. Don't you believe that to be true?
Oh, yeah, of course. It'll be disappointing. Yeah. And like, you know, you look at what UCF's done the last 3 weeks of the season.
Right.
They're playing good basketball. You know, they're a different team than when you beat them by 20 here in Memphis. You know, so, I do worry about that a little bit, you know, that they don't make it to
Saturday. I always worry that my mantra is what I want to happen in sports does not happen. Yeah. Whatever is the reverse. And what I want to happen is and so I fully expect them to lose to UCF. Because
you need to want them to lose today.
I need to, as though
you have somewhere you have to be this weekend.
I don't. I'm just here this weekend, unfortunately. Yeah. So, and then there'll be an NIT game. Everyone asks me, I got this question today on Twitter. Will an NIT be a win for the program? The program, it's already been such a win on every level.
It'll be good. It'll be good for the program.
But it'll be nice. It'll be fine. They're going to get an NIT game. Most people think it's going to be Tuesday at FedEx Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be fun. That'll be another nice, fun little thing. And then we'll see what happens after that. They'll probably win that because it's home. And then who knows? So. But to me, I'll be honest, I don't really care particularly about the NIT one way or another.
Well, I just think for this particular group, it is beneficial.
Well, it also is a distinction between everyone's like, well, this year's exactly the same as last year. You hear us that. People who just look at the record.
Right, of course.
Say, and if they get into the NIT, which they will, it will be further confirmation that no. People who understand basketball understand that this team is not last year's team.
Yeah. Right. Also, there was a report today that attendance doubled, the turnstile doubled, but they won't actually be getting the full payout from the Grizzlies.
They won't get the full payout.
Yeah, now that I found interesting.
What's the full? What do they have to achieve to get to the full payout? Is it
10,000? They have to hit 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000 in butts and seats.
Yeah,
they didn't hit that.
They did not hit that. They hit 8,000 and change.
Surprising to me.
Little, are we underwhelmed by that?
Yes. A little underwhelmed by that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the report today that attendance. It just depends, I guess, how you want to look at it, right? You can look at it. Well, it doubled, but I think it also goes to show you how far people had, you know, how detached people had become.
Well, here's the other thing: we didn't used to know actual fans
right.
in the seats, so
right.
these numbers are weird. In other
yes.
words, with Josh, we'll look and he'll say, "Oh, 14,000 were
yep.
there." But if we didn't have fannies in the seats numbers, that only became an obsession. At the end, it only became an obsession once, and particularly with Tubby,
right.
when we started filing FOIA requests and whatever from mm-hmm. the university. And so we're doing apples and oranges a little bit. I will say the atmosphere has been fun and good.
It has been.
And completely different.
So the exact numbers, obviously it matters if they're not getting the full payout, but they're getting a payout. They're not begging. They're not giving out free tickets. They're not papering the place. They're not, you know, it has been robust and it's been fun. And that's the main thing, is to make it just feels different in there. And and that's what you had to achieve.
Yeah, 8,813 per game is the actual turnstile.
Seems low. I would have guessed it would have been
that
number so well.
Because that suggests they've only half full building.
No doubt.
And I guess that what you have to remember is
it's 10-8, right?
So many of those seats are upstairs.
Yep.
It's to me my biggest complaint with FedEx Forum. At the pyramid, a larger percentage of the seats were downstairs. Mm-hmm. Here,
just the way it works, you know,
just the way they structured it, is they had these suites. They wanted the suites to be low. So there's not as many in the lower bowl. The lower bowl is full.
Yep.
But there's this vast swatch of seats up there, and it's hard to get a sense of how many people are up there, and they're obviously only been half full.
Yeah. So that was certainly interesting, and you hope that you have a good week.
Well, and it's going to continue to build. James Wiseman's.
I don't know if you know this, but
James Wiseman's going to be here next year, and I suspect that will bring in even additional people.
Yes,
they're on their way.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. All right, on to the Memphis Grizzlies. Jason has a plan. It's called Tank for Ticket, and that means next season you go into it with the full intention.
That's assuming you convey the pick this season.
Right. Yes, conveying the pick. If you get that out of the way, right? You go into 2019-20 tanking.
I like the alliteration.
Mm. Also, tank for Tony Anthony Edwards.
I like the alliteration. It's very good. Here's what's weird to me is that first of all, I still don't think they're probably going to convey the pick, as you said last night. 2 days ago, all I heard was that Jonas Valanciunas was basically Shaq. That and that this team, as long as you bring it back, Avery Bradley, and just bring them all back, and then you add in the young guys, this is a playoff team. That's literally what people, and I just was thinking, I want whatever you're having, I want to have what you're having.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm glad that people were happy to see some energy and some wins. That was nice to see. But if you looked at that team and thought to yourself that is a playoff team, you're out of your living mind. And I think people were just in such a – I mean, it's been refreshing. The pace has been different. It's fun to see players play hard. I like all that too. But people took it to this
– extreme.
Like they literally turned Jonas into basically Shaq, you know? And all of a sudden, Mark was like Cesare Trebanski, I just had no idea what was happening in our city that people thought this was just bring these guys back, add in Jaren Jackson, we're going to the playoffs.
Well, you always want to believe you're better off after a breakup, right? Everybody always wants
to believe
they're
better off. I've struggled.
This is old Eddie Murphy, old stand up. He'd talk about when you are really starving. And you get a Ritz cracker, and you eat that Ritz. It's the best damn cracker you've ever had. And
that
that's what this.
It.
That's,
so
a, that's
Jonas
a,
is
the
Ritz
first
cracker.
Three game winning streak since November.
Right.
You know, and again, I respect it. It's fun to see it, right? But it was a mirage. That's it. That's completely what it was. Guys playing over their head, and they will come back, much like the role players did that you brought in this season.
Yep.
Guys will come back to the norm.
There was a bunch of games where we were thinking this team at the beginning of the season was a juggernaut too. I like Jonas.
Was it a mistake to cut Shelvin?
I think if you're looking back.
Or to get rid of Shelvin.
It's another black mark on the front office.
I mean, the guy won games for him.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, I enjoy it, but I'm not – it does not change my sense of where they are
as
a franchise.
You know, much change is still needed. And, of course, you wouldn't put tank on the front of it going into the season. You never tell a fan base you're tanking. But maybe there's a date. Now, much will depend, too, on if you've traded Mike Conley. Right in the off season,
obviously
the huge question
this off season is going to be: will they trade?
You trade Mike, you may as well.
If they trade Mike,
that's what your plan.
The idea that they are not while people were talking about them as a playoff team in the last week, next year, I've been saying persistently, this team is going to be picked last in the West next year. Like who's going to be picked below them? No, there's no team that's going to be. The Clippers are going to go out and get people. They're going to be good.
Phoenix
the
coming
Suns,
up.
The Suns are coming up. They look much better. They got a lot of young talent.
They're
going
to be
picked
about
them. They're this year's Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
They're next year's Sacramento.
Agree completely.
Whatever. So who the hell's going to be picked? They're the worst team in the West. And honestly, I think that's true with Mike. Without Mike, which is probably what they'll do, they're really bad. And so the idea that they're not, that's why conveying the pick to me always mattered this year. Because I didn't see any way in which they weren't going to be bottom six next year. Next year, they're going to keep that pick. They're going to be bottom six. And so you might as well, yes, you don't announce it and you whatever, but it will be interesting to see what they do. The biggest variable will be what they do with Mike this offseason.
But ticket, though.
Ticket.
Yeah, big ticket.
I like it.
Thoughts?
The problem with tanking these days is that it's even less
the
reliable.
The chances are a little different.
Yeah, they flatten out the odds.
That's why you got to be the worst. That's why you got to be the worst. Give yourself the best.
But even though
if you're in the top four, you can get Wiseman.
You can, but I think the bottom three all have the same odds, honestly, under the new system.
Yeah.
I may be speaking out of turn.
That's right. Bottom three have the same.
So if
I'm in 2, 3, 1.
It doesn't mean you don't have to be the worst. You just be bad.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're going to be
bad. That's
what
I'm saying.
But your odds aren't good.
Yeah, well, you have good odds of getting either Ticket or Anthony Edwards.
Or Jaden McDaniels.
Or Jaden McDaniels.
Who may be the Kevin Durant of the draft.
You think next year's a pretty good draft?
Yes.
Oh, much better, yeah.
Yes. I mean, maybe
not 1 through 3, but it's going to be deeper. And I think there at the top, maybe it's an Anthony Edwards. You'll have a guy that's just as much as, not a Zion Williamson, but just as much of an impact contributor as soon as he gets there.
I mean, I think James Wiseman is, I just don't see a way he fails in the NBA. I just don't see it.
He is a monster.
He does too much. You know, he's the modern
NBA
big.
Is he going to be in the three-point contest in the McDonald's All-American game?
I don't know. Is he?
There was some talk of it.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to be.
He wanted to be.
He's in the dunk contest, isn't he? Or do we know?
Yes, he's definitely to the dunk contest.
Yeah, he's doing the dunk contest.
But then the fact that this monster is going to be in the three-point contest or wants to be in the three. He would be viable.
You know, that's the thing about next season with this Memphis Tiger basketball program. Everyone's like, I don't know. First of all, they got Lester Quinones coming in on a visit this weekend. Okay.
Well, how did you feel, by the way, about Lester Quinones asking for love from Memphis fans last night?
That's what James Wiseman did once upon a time before he committed.
You definitely, on a visit, would have done that.
That's what all the kids do
these
days.
There's no question. You said, hey, Memphis fans, give me some love.
He saw Damian Ball getting last week all through the town. He wanted to feel something.
James Wiseman did the same thing. He's like, where are my Tiger fans at? You
know what it feels like.
Yeah, what's the point of being recruited if you can't have a 52-year-old white man tell you how much he loves you?
I contributed to it. I retweeted
it. You did. I retweeted. I'm turned up. Tiger fan over here.
I'm doing my good work trying to recruit for the University of Memphis. Did you retweet it?
I did not.
He wasn't pandering. He wasn't lowering himself.
I have a friend who used to be my neighbor who will go on these kids' Twitter accounts when they tweet, and he'll just say, Memphis. You know, and I've never done that. Like, I've never tried to tell a kid where he should go. But, you know, that's what they want. They want, strangers to.
You bring people on here on your show all the time and tell them to go to Memphis, don't you?
Well, I don't know. Do we? Do we tell them to go to Memphis?
I think it's clear where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I only
clear
care
where
I
mean, you're
I
coming from.
Okay, you want me to ask Damian, but hey, man, tell me about the Texas Tech coaching
I think one of the strengths of your program is that you basically are a recruiting arm for the University of Memphis.
Never seen anything like it in radio.
I've never seen anything like it in radio.
I just ask
the recruiting
questions
power
that people care
of this
about.
Show is fantastic.
Effective, haven't we?
So you think Lester should go to Memphis?
I think Lester, I'm turned up about Lester.
What about,
especially with the LSU situation now,
yeah,
right?
You got to feel go good there.
About
him.
What about Precious Achiuwa? Where do you think he should go?
I think Precious should be at the University
penny.
Of Memphis.
You think he should be a Tiger?
You know what? Why wouldn't you want to come and play for pros like this?
That's right.
Who knows how to get you better for the pros than the pros?
That's right.
You know?
Yes.
That's where everyone wants to be.
Calkins drinking the Kool-Aid.
They ought to put you in the recruiting pitch to
the
these
Kool-Aid.
Kids.
I'm serving the Kool-Aid.
You're serving the Kool-Aid. You're making it. You're back there in the Daily Memphian office
I'm making that thing. I'm blue Kool-Aid. I'm stirring up some, opening those little packets and stirring up blue Kool-Aid and saying, Lester, would you like some?
What would
Precious. Have some cool, refreshing Kool-Aid.
What would,
While I retweet you.
While I retweet you, pandering, asking for fans. Love.
Yeah, it's a fun time. There's no question about it. And you certainly hope they can make a run in this.
I got to get to the game. Will you let me go so I can get to the game?
Thank you so much.
We got to get down
what
there,
What if
too.
I'm not there?
You'll make it. It's just Tulane. It'll be fine. Nobody's going to miss it.
You won't miss much.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
See you.
Thank you, man.
Bye.
All right. We'll come back. Jason and John, Adichana FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every day around this time, let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9 FM, ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
I think we're all checking out the same thing. And it's a little earlier than tonight.
It's like an afternoon delight.
Coming up right now, your fifth-seeded Memphis Tigers taking on Tulane. Better not lose this one, John Martin. Yes. We've been talking about, you know, it won't be a disappointment if they lose second game or third game. Oh, it'd be a huge disappointment if they lost to 4-25 Tulane.
You cannot do this. You cannot be the first one. They still haven't won a game in the league, right?
Yeah.
They're winless. You can't be the first one.
Would a win today save Mike Dunleavy's job at Tulane?
That's a good question, dude.
I don't think so, dude. That would be only number five.
Or is he saved anyways? I mean, he's been there forever now, right?
No, I think he's done.
How many years has he been there? Like 4 or 5?
This is year 4, I believe, for Dunleavy.
I don't know what the expectations are at Tulane, but I can almost promise you they're higher than 4 wins a year. So I think he's done for sure. Also, word on the street is Buzz Williams is headed to Texas A&M.
Mm.
Yeah, just one to keep an eye out for. That's what the streets say.
Well, that'll start some dominoes.
Yeah. SMU might come open because Yankovic has had a tough year.
Yep.
You know, so there could be a lot of movement, and we'll see what happens.
Maybe your boy Larry Brown can get SMU back.
You think he wants it back? Of course he wants it back.
Why not?
He didn't ever really want to leave.
That's right.
You know, we'll see what happens with Houston. I mean, this will be a very – my understanding, talking to people around the industry – is that this will be a very busy coaching carousel. There will be lots of movement with this particular coaching cycle.
Does Memphis win by 20 today?
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes. I would take 16 and a half easy.
I'm going to say no because I'm going to say that the first half is such a beat down that he rests guys in the second half, and so it gets kind of like sloppy at the end of the game. So I don't know about that number.
Cool.
I just think it'll be close because I think that it's going to get sloppy at the end because the Tigers are going to have such a big lead.
Bennett, what are you checking out tonight?
I will be checking out the Tigers tonight. And other than that, I'm going to, later on tonight, catch up on Game of Thrones because the new season's on its way back. And so I'm rewatching the previous season.
Excited.
Yeah, my wife was actually watching that yesterday and this morning before I left for work. So she's definitely very excited. I'm surprised that my wife likes it because it's very gory and there's lots of murder. But I don't know. Maybe there's something about my wife that I don't know. Yes, I'll be down at the FedEx Forum for Memphis Tulane. I'll be writing about it for The Athletic, so you can definitely check that out. Like we've talked about, you know, you want to see a breakout performance from somebody not named Jeremiah Martin. We know Jeremiah Martin can take over a game like this. What do you have against Tulane last time they played? Like, what, 43 or something like that? So he's already done that. He's already taken his turn with Tulane. Let's get 43 from Keevan or somebody like that. That's what I would like to see. You know, because if you can empower those guys coming into this week and they feel like against UCF and against Houston – that they've got a role and they're confident. You got a real. I mean, that to me is the biggest thing. It's like we've talked about, man. It can't just be Jeremiah this week because every team in the conference knows that's the case.
Right.
It's got to be somebody else who, you know, steps up and scores 18. You know,
Keevan's
Rainier
capable.
Scored
Mike Parks is capable. Rainier Thornton is capable. It's time for these guys to break through it at what is the end of their careers?
College careers. Tyler Harris as well. We haven't talked a lot about him, but. You know,
I felt like he got it going. It's all good things.
Yeah, if he can continue that, you know, and he's
my X factor.
Yeah, knocking down threes consistently could be a very, very interesting week. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Memphis Tigers versus the Tulane Green Wave. Going to be tipping off here momentarily. Thanks to our guests who joined us today, Mark Adams, Nathan Hoover, and Jeff Calkins. Always appreciate their time. That's going to do it for us. Eric Hathine's up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.